Good morning. What a day. So the reading this morning is taken from Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord.
So a little bit on the context of Hebrews and this part of Hebrews. The author, some think is Paul, is writing to Jewish Christians whose faith is wavering. Their faith is on the rocks. The aim of the letter, or at least this part of the letter, is to encourage them in their faith so that they wouldn't turn back to their old ways, old habits, old practices, but would look ahead to what God has promised. Last week, Pastor Dave reminded us of what faith is. So I'm going to read Hebrews 11:1 again right now. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. But Dave also reminded us that faith actually moves us out of our comfort zones. These heroes of faith that we are reminded of here, Abel, Abraham, Sarah, Enoch, Noah, they were all moved out of their comfort zone. Do you agree? Yes. They were all moved out of their comfort zone. But they kept the faith. in verse 13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Isn't that what we want? I want that. I want to keep faithful to God throughout my life until I die. Is it easy? I don't think so. And I'm sure Abraham and Sarah and all of these people had struggles along the way. What does it take? Well, let's acknowledge first that it takes a bit of fighting back from the inevitable kickbacks, stumbling blocks. It takes resilience. It takes endurance. And let's not forget that it takes a relationship, a close relationship with God. We can't do it on our own. We can't be faithful to God if we haven't got that relationship, if we don't know Him, if we don't walk with Him. We need that close relationship with God. We live in a world where waiting seems to be impossible, doesn't it? For some of us, we hate queues. We really don't like queues. We really don't like having to wait in the traffic. We'll find any way to get around the traffic. Waiting in line at a shop seems painful. And waiting for a package that you've ordered that you just can't wait for. Do you know what? I think Amazon Prime is one of the best and one of the worst things to ever happen to us. I have found myself ordering things from Amazon Prime the day before I need them, just because I can. Or just because I forgot, and, well, it's alright, because I've got Amazon Prime, I can get next day delivery. That's not a good practice to get into, guys. It's not good. But it's helped me out so much. When I forgot somebody's birthday present and I've been able to order something on Amazon Prime the day before, it's great. But as I've said, it's led me to be a bit impatient. How are we, as people who are used to this next day delivery, used to finding a quick route around when we get into work, or paying that extra bit of money to get on the flight first? I don't get that. How are we meant to wait on an invisible God to answer our prayers without that delivery date? Well, for Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have a delivery date. Verse 13 continues, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. That must have been so frustrating at times. It must have been so frustrating. I've just said how we struggle to wait for a package in the post, knowing that it's coming in the next day or in the next 5 days. They saw this in the distance. They saw God's promises. They had absolute faith that God would come through. But they didn't see them. They didn't see their descendants come as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. They didn't see that. But guess what? God came through. God came through. Reading on in verse 13. It says, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Foreigners and strangers on earth. Just sounds wrong, doesn't it? It just sounds weird because, well, we were born here and we expect to die here. So how are we foreigners and strangers on this earth? The writer or the author of this letter was talking to, as I've said, Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem. It wouldn't have been easy. People who once called themselves Jews now called themselves Christians. They're living in a country that wouldn't really accept that very well. It wasn't easy for them. So when the author is writing to them to say, country where we feel foreigners and strangers. They knew what that felt like. They were reading this thinking, gosh, that feels a bit like me at the moment. Does that ring true for people around the world right now? Dave just prayed for those that are being persecuted around the world. This hasn't stopped. There are people around the world that are facing death for following Jesus Christ. Well, only a few years after this letter was sent out, was written, the Roman army came and killed millions of Jews in Jerusalem, whether they believed in Christ or not, whether they followed Christ or not. This letter might have been the thing they needed to keep them faithful until the very end. Reading this letter I really need to keep faithful. I really need to keep faithful like Abraham and Sarah and Enoch and Abel and Noah. I really need to. I need to keep pushing on. Verse 14 says, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Looking back to these heroes of faith that the author reminded us of, they had their eyes fixed on somewhere much better than where they were. They had their eyes fixed on it, somewhere that God had called them to, a country that they were longing for. Maybe you haven't come to that point, or maybe you haven't actually thought about this that much yet, but we are in a country, we are on the earth as Christians, but we have somewhere better ahead. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's somewhere better ahead for us? That we don't have to endure pain, suffering, and everything that goes on in this world for much longer? We should be like foreigners and strangers on this earth. We should feel like we are. And I'm not saying that as a negative thing. I got a little analogy. Imagine you have to go on a business meeting. You're going up to London. The meeting's the next day and you decide to go early the morning before and you give yourself plenty of time to get prepared, go over your notes, get a good night's sleep. You get to the hotel and you go to your room and you go, oh, this bed's a bit bumpy. You lay on it and you hear a bit creaking and it doesn't feel very stable. And then you look ahead to the TV, but you can't even see the TV because it's so low down, you can't even see it at the end of your bed. So what do? IKEA. Go straight to IKEA, you buy yourself a new bed, a new mattress, and a new TV stand, a nice high one that you can see it from your bed. You go back to the hotel room. The people in the hotel look at you like, what the heck is he doing? But you get it up to your room, and you know what IKEA stuff is like. It's meant to be easy. It never is. You take the whole day putting all this furniture together. You get a great night's sleep. You wake up in the morning. You have to leave straight away. You need to brush your teeth, have your breakfast, and go straight to this meeting. Really important business meeting. And you're in the taxi. And you're going, I didn't go over any of my notes last night. I don't feel prepared at all. What the heck am I going to do? You get to the meeting and it goes terribly. It goes wrong in all areas. Well, this is like me and you. This is like us here on earth. Although we are here much longer than a couple of days, we find ourselves so focused on the things that don't really matter. We're not here that long, guys. The things we do matter. And we're focusing in on the things that maybe gives us a little bit of pleasure. But the day that we realize that what we're doing actually really does matter, that living by faith really does matter, will be the day that changes your life and will change might change eternity for you. We need to step back and have a look at the wider picture. We're so focused on our money-driven schedules, our materialistic pleasures. But when we step back and say, what really matters, God? It's none of that. Of course, there are things of this world. There are things that we can enjoy. And we need money. Don't get me wrong. We need money to get by. I know that. But it's perspective. I'm one of these people who absolutely love nice food. If I've looked at my bank statement at the end of the month and gone, oh my gosh, I haven't got anything left. It's because I've gone out for one or two nice meals. I love to watch Arsenal. I know, sorry. I love to watch Arsenal. And there are times when I have gone up to the Emirates and that's been an amazing treat. But at the end of the month I've gone, oh gosh, why did I do that? These things, they bring us pleasure. I have fun. But in the grand scheme of things, they really don't matter. And maybe the energy that I'm putting into going up to the Emirates and the money and going out for nice meals, I can put into something that really does matter. Like I said, not to say that we can't do these things. Remember, Jesus was born in a stable. He was born around animals, and it wasn't a very nice place to be, was it? He lived a very simple life. Born to a mum and dad that had nothing. And as he was growing up and he went through adulthood, he didn't have a lot. But he didn't want a lot. Jesus lived a very simple life. Think of the people that are in the limelight today. They can have whatever they want. I know times were very different back then. Jesus didn't have that way about him that he wanted this and he wanted that. He knew what was important. Mission over money. God over gold. He was focused. I'm not saying, guys, that we can even come close to how Jesus lived because he was Jesus. I know that. But I pray to God at least once a week that I want to be more and more like Jesus. And I say, God, help me to be more like Jesus. And with the youth, and I'll say, guys, we just want to be more like Jesus, don't we? And then I look at the way that I live. I say, well, I don't live very much like Jesus. I put myself first a lot. There are things that I can absolutely change in my life to be a little bit more like Jesus. But do I really want to? I'm being honest, and maybe think about yourself here as well. Do you really want to change some of these parts of your life that you can absolutely change? And it wouldn't take too much. But because they bring you pleasure, because they're nice. You don't. And you say, what I want, God, is some of Jesus' characteristics. I want to be more prayerful. I want to be more loving. I want to be more faithful. Absolutely, we want all these things. But Jesus lived a life absolutely dedicated to God. Verse 15 says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. If Abraham and Sarah looked back to where they once called home, they would have seen their friends. They would have seen, I'm not sure, the building which they would have lived in, but some form of house, some form of home, a lot more comfortable to the tent they were sleeping in. And they could have easily gone, oh, God, I love you, but I'm just going back. They could have done that, and the story would have been a lot different. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have been in this section of Hebrews and the heroes of faith if they'd done that. So they wouldn't have stayed very faithful. They could have done it. They didn't. They kept their eyes on the promises of Jesus, on the promises of God. They kept going. They kept faithful. These Jewish Christians that are being addressed in this letter, they're in a country that was hostile to them. They definitely didn't feel at home. And they could have gone, well, maybe I'll just go back to how I used to live. It would be easier, wouldn't it? Yeah, maybe we wouldn't face all this trouble. Yeah, let's do that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe some of them did. Will you look back on the ways that you used to live when things get tough? When you're struggling for money, will you say, well, actually, I was in a much better job there with a lot more money. I know, God, I feel you've called me to this one, but I was earning a lot more money there, and maybe it'd just make my life a lot easier. Those friends, those relationships they used to have that drew you further away from God than anyone else. Those habits, those addictions, those secret sins. Will you look back? Will you be drawn back into those ways? Or will you look forward? Will you look forward like Sarah and Abraham? Look forward to the promises of God. Look forward to a better country. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, they all did this. They all got through. They focused on the promises of God. Promises are funny things, aren't they? Jennifer K. Dean writes, a promise is only as good as the person who makes it. The character of the promiser is what gives the promise its value. I really like that. It's so true, isn't it? If I promised you £50,000 this morning, it would basically be a lie, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, it would be a lie. Please don't expect that from me. And you would absolutely judge my character. And next time I say the word promise, you would question it, wouldn't you? If I said, I'll give you a fiver, it's more doable. I'm not giving any of you a fiver today, so I'm sorry. It's a lot more doable. And I would hope if I'd say it, I would come through with it. And maybe you wouldn't judge my character so much. Maybe the next time I say, I promise, you wouldn't question it because I came through before. The only promise maker we could ever have a promise from and know that it wouldn't be a lie is God. Do you have faith that that's true? These heroes of faith absolutely kept the faith that that was true. They didn't, as I said, Sarah and Abraham didn't see their descendants come as multitudes, but they did, and they kept faith until the very day that they died. They didn't get to see Jesus come and die on the cross for them, for their sins. They didn't get to see that. But guys, we are in a privileged position to know that Jesus Christ came, he died for you and he died for me to wash away our sins. He defeated death, he defeated sin on that cross. We know that. So we know that God's come through with that promise. So why not be faithful? Why not stay faithful to God? There's so many promises I'm sure that we can look back on and say, God, you've come through time and time and time again. But still, we struggle to walk by faith in our lives. Verse 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed to be called their God. To those that have lived by faith, even with all their failings, all their sin and brokenness, God was not ashamed to be called their God. You only have to think about Noah. Noah lived by faith. He did a great thing by building that ark by faith. Amazing. But he did some really bad stuff as well. Noah was far from perfect. through all of his failings, God was not ashamed to be called his God. Just reading those words make me feel a little bit emotional, less now than when I first read them. But I'm a sinner, and I fall and I fail every day. And just thinking that God isn't ashamed to be called my God, I say, it does make you feel a little bit emotional. This is God. You know the difference between an earthly father and a heavenly father, and I'm sure my dad has been ashamed of me a few times over the years. I'm sure he has. But God is not ashamed to be called my God. God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you because he loves you so, so much. He's not ashamed to be called your God. But what he wants is you to walk in faith, to trust him, to trust in his promises. We know there's going to be stumbling blocks. We know it's not always easy. But you need to walk by faith. There's no better way to live. There are easier ways to live. There's no better way to live. He's prepared somewhere for us where we can go and spend eternity with him. Spend an eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you have done that if he was ashamed? I need to ask, are you looking for a better country? Do you recognize that this life is a temporary pit stop before eternity with Jesus? How you live matters. Living by faith matters. You might not have recognized this, or just might not have thought about your life on earth in this way before. I hadn't really. Reading this has been, and preparing this has been amazing for me. And I hope just sitting here and taking it in means something to you. It's okay if you haven't thought about it in this way before. Like I said, I hadn't. But what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this knowledge that this, I was going to say country, this earth is so temporary? What are you going to do with that? Are you going to live by faith? Or are you going to look back? You're going to look back to the ways that you used to live. Finally, if you don't recognize Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today might be the day that you make a decision. You might make that step. It might be tomorrow. It might be next week. It might be next year. But can I ask you to consider whether living this life for the fragile promises of this earth, the fragile promises, the materialism, the things that are just going to fade away? Or are you going to live your life on the promises of the one that can never break a promise? Are you going to live by faith? Are you going to follow it through until the end? I'd love you to think about it. And I'm not going to ask you to put a hand up this morning. What I'm going to ask you to do is to think and pray and maybe speak to some people around you. Speak to those that know Jesus. And if you feel like that's a decision you want to make, to live for Jesus, to live by faith, dedicate your life to him, we would love to chat with you. Absolutely love it. And if you're online, connect with us. There are ways to connect. Our contact details are on the website. And if you're here, as I say, speak to somebody this morning. It doesn't have to be me. It could be the person next to you. Speak to somebody this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your word. thank you for these heroes of faith that we can look back on and say, wow, I wish I can live like that. Thank you, Lord, that we can live like that. To follow you is to follow the only worthwhile person, thing to follow. Lord, I pray that we remember that. I pray that when we maybe take a little sneak back, a little look back at the ways that we used to live, Lord, I pray that your light would shine so bright, that we would not want to be like chameleons and just blend in, be like a sheep and follow all the others, that we would want to be like the city on the hill that cannot be missed. We want to shine your light, Jesus. Lord, I pray, give us this desire. Give us this desire until the day that we die. Amen. Amen. Shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.